Hey everyone, this is Annie Tevlin, founder of Skin Owl Skincare and your host of Off the Record, the podcast. From years of helping people with their skin, it dawned on me that when you're talking to people about their skin, be it acne or aging, the conversation so often becomes about one's insecurities, lack of self-worth, and how to reconcile who they are while living in the skin they're in. The road to healing one's skin is not solely paved with a good face oil or eye concentrate, but with an openness that I have felt so fortunate to be on the other end of. This vulnerability motivated me to start a podcast. This podcast, one that has evolved into a magnetic epicenter of amazing humans telling their story in a truly raw and transparent way. Join me every Monday as my guests and I dive deep into universal truths by way of humor, heartache, and hope. Now it's just you and me. I respect your privacy. What happens here will never leave this room. So lock the door, put me in, put a finger to my lips, 'cause I can't say I got what I would do. Off the record with you. Off the record with you. Good morning and good evening, my friends. So it's been a while since I've had someone on the podcast to talk all things beauty, but today that streak ends because today I have one of my favorite people here to enlighten us to the wide world of makeup artistry and why beauty remains the gift that keeps on giving. Meet Jamie Greenberg, one of Hollywood's most indispensable makeup artists and highly sought-after beauty personalities. Her work can be seen on red carpets, copious ad campaigns, and featured in magazine editorials, included but not limited to Allure, Cosmopolitan, Women's Health, Shape, and People. Her client list, Kaley Cuoco, Rashida Jones, Chelsea Handler, Kristen Stewart, Whitney Cummings, Busy Phillips, Maya Rudolph, Gwyneth Paltrow, and many others. She engages her audience through her personal blog, YouTube, Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter accounts on a daily basis, and her unique voice within the industry has made her a frequent voice on Fox's Good Day LA, ABC's Good Morning America, and across the beauty blogosphere. As everyone's personal makeup artist, aka EPMA, Jamie is always creating content, sending emails, and customizing tutorials for as many humans as possible. And as we've all had to pivot due to the social distancing and face-touching standards of COVID-19, Jamie got smart with her latest offering, one-on-one virtual appointments, gifting her fans the same expertise and undivided attention she gives her celebrity clients. Each call is 30 minutes. Participants can utilize that time however they like. And I'll let Jamie fill us in on the rest. She is the queen of teach me the basics, review my products, brushes, and technique, help me get to a place where I can clean house in my makeup bag, teach me an everyday look, teach me how to sexy it up, or talk me through a game plan for my problematic skin or desire for that youthful glow. Now, I can say from personal experience, Jamie brings a warmth, approachability, and vitality to her work and her place in this world, and enhances each of her clients with her playful and optimistic sense of beauty. Her time is precious, and I, for one, am honored to have her in the OTR Zoom room. So without further ado, I'd like to welcome Jamie Greenberg to the OTR studio. Welcome, Jamie.
Wow. What is that really for me? What are you talking about?
That's you. Did you know that's you?
You know what? I forgot. I did not know it was me. I'm very happy to be me right now. I sound great.
You're so amazing. You know, I'll get to this in a second, but like in a previous life, I was a makeup artist and, you know, I don't think I've ever met someone in makeup artistry like you. And that's like all bullshit aside. You are so warm and you take something that can be very convoluted, very difficult to understand. You know, it's like, you know, people, it's like chopsticks versus Beethoven. And you just make Beethoven easy to metabolize for people that don't know how to hold a brush, don't know what colors fit their skin tone. Like, have you been told that several times before?
Not as eloquently as you put it, but yes. I love you.
You're like, I agreed to an hour interview. I think we should go to 2 hours. I think we should just keep this going.
It's like therapy. I'm whole.
My God. Well, obviously we're talking both from the comfort of our homes here in the Valley in Los Angeles. I want to ask you first, how are you holding up? You know, we're in the the middle of June. Los Angeles has been hashtag safer at home since the end of March. And I know full well how the beauty industry, especially makeup artists, hairstylists, have been hit hard during this time. How, first of all, how are you doing? And how have you pivoted during this time?
Okay, really quickly before I answer, your brows look amazing. Just have to let you know. Can't stop staring at them.
As if okay. I would show up here not looking the part.
Yeah, you look good.
Thank you.
Got that glowy skin, skin owl skin. I'm doing okay, all things considered. You know, the first 2 weeks were mayhem. I definitely cried a lot and was like in a dark, dark space and was freaking out. I have three kids and a husband, so and a dog. And, you know, we lost our nanny the first week. And so I know that sounds so cliche, and I never thought that sentence would come out of my mouth, but I am a full-time working mom. And so is my husband's a full-time working husband. And so, you need help. So, she left and I was like, we can't do this. And what I learned is we can do this. Also, I didn't have a job. So I haven't worked like my job since COVID started. And so it was really scary because like I have a monthly delivery service called Swag Bag that I curate, and it's like a little, it's like a FabFitFun, but like better.
Yep.
And that I have, so I couldn't collect unemployment because technically that, you know, I make money off of that, but I don't make my normal money. And I also have people that work for me, so I pay them. So it was really scary. And I've been exercising every morning because for me, that's like my meditation. And I was running one day and I was like, I know what I can do. I know what I can do. And I got home and I told my husband, I was like, I'm going to do Zoom classes. And we're going to charge people and we're going to reach out to brands and we're going to create packages for the people. And so I can show somebody how to do a cat eye and they will have the exact same stuff that I'm using at my house. It won't be like they're like crappy, like, you know, junk brand that they don't like, that they don't even know they don't like, you know?
Yep.
That's one thing I have noticed. And I'm going to offer one-on-ones and we're going to do classes and we're going to do one-on-ones. So I opened it up in March. No, I opened it up in April. And April, May, we crushed. I did two classes. We have our third class this week and we planned on doing three classes in June. But when the George Floyd protest began, we just shut everything down because it just seemed like, although it is my livelihood, it just seems so ridiculous to be talking about beauty. So, you know, now there's a spin on everything. Like this Friday, we have a live opening once a month for the Swag Bag. We're going to try to raise money for NAACP. And everything has like more of a purpose now because I am loud and I do want to stick with the messaging and I want equality for everyone. So, you know, that was awesome. So I am loving this. I've been doing one-on-ones with so many women. We would do them on Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, and I'd have like six in a row every day. And it would be anything from like cleaning out somebody's drawer to show me what products I should keep or get rid of. What do I need? How do I do this look? And I cannot tell you, like, that is my calling. Like, it has brought me so much joy to exchange this information with women and like, I was waiting for somebody. You know, the first class we did 50 people. The second class we limited it to 100 people. We sold out.
Wow.
And I know. And in my mind, I was like, someone's going to be pissed. Because, you know, even with the Swag Bag, I don't. Like, this is the thing. I feel like everything I'm putting out, people really like. And it's just amazing. Like, to me, it's like I'm always waiting for the shoe to drop. I'm always waiting for the hater to tell me how bad it is. And I don't get that. Mm-mm. This is such a beautiful exchange of just my knowledge with women. And I just really want to make people feel better. Like, you dabbled in makeup artistry. I dabbled in stand-up comedy. It wasn't for me. But what I did like about it was that you get up to make people laugh. And now I have like a one-on-one, you know, job where I can make people feel good. And to me, honestly, I'm not bullshitting. Like, that is why I'm here. Like,
that's your value though. That's your value. You know what I mean? It's like, on one hand, yes, makeup artistry and your expertise brings such a value to people because, again, people have two left hands sometimes when it comes to makeup artistry. And when you are a makeup artist, you see that firsthand. what a value it is. But then you bring your personality into it. And that's what's so refreshing and awesome about you. Is that, yes, of course people want to learn makeup artistry, but people also just want to spend time with you because you make people feel good. And you're not covering up and enabling the insecurities. You're allowing people to enhance their own beauty. You know, you have this approachability and just this je ne sais quoi, so to speak, that makes people want to be around you. And so whatever you're selling, people want because they trust you and they like you. And that's, you know, when you are you, you don't realize the value of that because you're like, I'm just being me. I'm just out here doing my thing. But when you're somebody else and you're around you, you need to know how rare that is, how valuable that is. And just especially now, you know, where I think we are all taking life very seriously, as we should, as a result of everything going on in the world, post George Floyd, Breonna Taylor, so on and so on. So we're trying to have the bandwidth to act in a way that we never have. We've thought about it. We've memorialized. We've paid our tributes. Maybe we've paid, you know what I mean? We've done our donations. But now we're asking our nation to stand up and do more than they've ever done, especially white people. And so, you know, with that, with everything that's going on in the world, you have COVID, we're now at home. And now because we've been at home, we've had an opportunity to look inward and now we have the bandwidth to act. You know, have you pivoted at all in terms of your mission? You know, like on one hand, it's like, okay, makeup artistry and skincare, you know, we're both in this world, can seem frivolous and can seem like, well, what am I doing? Like, this isn't curing cancer. But like, how have you kind of redefined your mission now that you've had this time at home? And obviously this pivot with these one-on-ones, like, what is your purpose now as a makeup artist?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely want to continue to give like proceeds to the missions, like to supporting, you know, black female business owners, entrepreneurs. You know, I just want to keep lifting up the people that feel bad. I mean, again, it's like I'm the microcosm with my one-on-ones to what's happening in the real world. And I want to help all people and really all women, you know, and that'll trickle down. But I just, you know, I was hit really hard by this whole thing. And believe me, it's something that I've known too for a long time. Like every time it pops up, I know that it's not fair. I have black friends. I hear that what they're saying. And to me, I'm like, I haven't done enough. I haven't kept it in my mind. Like I've hired black employees. I have a product coming out in the fall. And I remember like when I was picking the colors, I was like, it needs to be all inclusive. Like this before, you know, the protests and everything. And I have a friend who's from Africa and she's super dark. And I would meet her on the playground in the morning and I would test stuff on her. Cause I was like, if Natasha doesn't like it, then I fail, you know? So I keep telling her, I'm going to name the shade Natasha. And she's like, oh, stop it. But she, you know, it's like, I just feel like I am, as the kids say, woke. Like I'm awake and I am paying attention and I'm not going to stop. Like I'm not, it's not going to be something that, okay, I protested and I donated money and now it's back to my regular life. I feel like it's very sensitive. I'm very sensitive towards it. We all have to do this. We all have to continue to live our lives, helping people that don't have the voice. So Absolutely. That's really how I pivoted. I mean, even I've already picked the three shades that we're launching with. And one of the shades I was like, maybe I need to make it more universal. Like I'm a people pleaser and I don't want people to ever feel left out. Like I come sit at my table. Like, you know what I mean? Like, And so that's how I feel like I have to really drive that home. It can't be an afterthought. It can't be like, it has to be like, it has to be every day.
And that's the thing is like, you're just making the considerations that we all should be making anyway. You know what I mean? It's like the black people wear makeup. So why are people not making the shades? I don't know. You know what I mean? Right. It's like, why has it only gotten to, you know, some makeup brands? You know, when I started my career with Lancôme, I was so happy despite the icky ingredient deck, which, you know, I say with all due respect, that was the level of awareness when I was a makeup artist. It was, you know, as fair as Snow White. And they had colors all the way down to like as dark of a complexion. Like they used to say, like African color. Like you gotta fit. Everybody's here looking for makeup. You can't leave anybody out. And you will do a disservice by doing that morally. And you will do a disservice to all the people that are out there now that they have no, where are they supposed to shop? And it shouldn't be a Black-owned business is creating the colors for Black men and women. It needs to be just the way that it is. And there's no reason that it shouldn't be. We're definitely going to, I feel like this will just kind of a main vein throughout this entire conversation. So I'm sure we'll circle back to it. But I think it's important, you know, as I said, I was a makeup artist in a previous life, but I found my way to that career by way of the music video industry. I was working on set, started shadowing makeup artists, and then boom, got into the industry. But prior to that experience, I had no idea how to make it into this line of work. I thought that was something for people that had connections or a magical touch that I didn't have. And, you know, so I ask you, for those people listening wanting to be a makeup artist in Hollywood, how did you nab this as a career?
I mean, it's so funny you should say that because like I'm from Maryland. Like I was born in Los Angeles, but I grew up in Maryland and was like a normal girl. You know, I went to college. I studied film and art. And then I didn't know what I wanted to do. I moved to New York and I worked in film. I cut film. It was commercials, but you know, it was a cushy job out of college. And I was just answer phones, do all the like grunt work type stuff. And I remember just being like, this can't be it. This cannot be it. Like I have to be at work at 8 o'clock, like stay till six. What? And this is back in the day when they like fed you lunch and they had Dean and DeLuca spreads and it was like so cushy. They smoked weed. They drank. Like it was like a really great job. That doesn't exist anymore. I would talk to somebody who still works there and she's like, they don't even give you free water anymore.
You're like, I was the end of an era.
I was the end of it. It was like the 80s, but it wasn't the 80s. 80s, they had cocaine. We didn't have cocaine. And then I was lost. I was like, I don't know what I want to do. So I had like a million odd jobs. I did stand-up comedy. I did improv. I waited tables. Waiting tables was so fun. It was, everybody was an artist, like a dancer, a visual artist, a singer, a comedian. It was so fun, in my 20s. And then I lived in New York City and my husband was in finance and he hated it. And I was just trying to figure out what I wanted to do and I hated it. And we just looked at each other. We're like, should we move? And he's like, yeah. And I'm like, where should we move? And he was like, we could go to Chicago. I was like, no, we got to go to Los Angeles. I love Los Angeles. Let's go to Los Angeles. So the summer before we moved to Los Angeles, we stayed in Bucks County, Pennsylvania, which is like gorgeous, delicious, East Coast at its finest. And we just fucked around. Ironically, we had a couple friends who were kind of like in the same boat. And so it was like a bunch of people just hanging out, barbecuing, making birdhouses, and just like fucking off. And after 2 weeks of that, I was like, I am bored. I have to do something. So my husband and I were like looking for something to do. And someone's like, you love makeup. You're so obsessed with makeup. You have so much makeup. And in film school, in college, like I did everybody's makeup. I used to do the makeup for the films, but it was never something I ever thought as a career. And so my friend was like, go work at, there's a store called Ulta. And I was like, Ulta. Okay. So I put on like a suit and printed out a resume.
Oh my God.
Showed up like working girl, like 9 to 5, like Dolly Parton up in this bitch. I looked good. I looked so cute. They were like, what is wrong with this girl? Like they were like freaked out by me, but they're like, I was like, I'm coming in so professional. Nope. And so they're like, yeah, fine. You can just fill out the paperwork and you want to work here. So I got a job at Ulta and it was like the greatest thing ever because I was surrounded by product that I got to like touch, feel and like stock. Like we would like come in at 4:30 in the morning and like unstock it was ridiculous. Yep. I mean, this is ridiculous. And my parents were like melting down. Like you have a college degree. You've been doing your thing in New York. You're making headway. Like, what are you doing? And I was just like, I love this. Yeah. And one day this woman came in and she's like, I need all new makeup and I need like just a makeover. And I was like, okay. And I was fluid in Bare Minerals because I had bought it on an infomercial and was just so good with it. And I gave this woman a makeover and she bought everything. And it was like the greatest high. And I was like, oh my God, this is what I want to do. So long story short, I moved to LA to open the, we got married. Then we moved, drove cross country. We moved to LA. My husband was a PA. He wanted to be in film. He became a PA. I went and worked at the Ulta. We opened the Ulta in on La Brea in Santa Monica.
I was just going to say, I remember that opening. Oh yep. My God.
Yep. Open that store. What a nightmare. I mean, looking back, I mean, I really like, I put in the hours. And so I worked there for like 6 months. And then I was like, I need to go to bigger and better. Went to Bloomingdale's, worked at the Paula Dorf counter. Then they closed that counter.
What year is this? Because I'm like, how do we not? We have like these almost the exact same story that I'm like, we must have crossed paths because I was working.
You said Lancome. I was like, did I meet you? Like,
I was the counter manager in
where?
Okay, so I started off in Century City Macy's.
Okay.
And like, I left the film industry to go take that job. And your parents, you're like, my parents were melting. Like, I remember my dad being like, you're the only person in Hollywood who's successfully working their way down. I was like, just wait, dad.
Yes.
Wait. And so, and now here we are, you know what I mean? And I still don't know whether or not I'm working my way up or down, but you know, and so I started off Century City and then I went to Burbank Macy's and then I was hired as an account coordinator for Lancome. And then I was like working in the Nordstrom's and the Bloomingdale's and the Sephora's as like a trainer and an account coordinator.
I am like, what years?
2000. Okay. So I moved to LA in 2003. So 2000, I mean like
yeah,
six
dude,
to
this
nine.
Is the same trajectory.
2006 yes. to nine, maybe for maybe a little
that's
bit.
Exactly. 10?
Okay. Yeah. Wow.
Yep.
I'm like Paula Dorf. You know what I mean? That's like that line. Then went. It didn't exist anymore in that Bloomingdale's.
And by the way, it was such a great line. And
the
then
best.
That counter turned into a Dior counter, and then I took over Dior, and you were right behind. You were next to Estee Lauder.
Are
I know
we talking
exactly
about?
Where you guys
is this Beverly Center or?
Yeah, Beverly Center.
Yeah. Oh my God.
We've met. We've had to have met them. Like when you said Lancome, I was like, I feel like we met. Like I literally was like, we had a moment. You were like Juicy Tubes.
Oh my God. I still have six of them at the bottom of like four purses. And there's like Triscuits lining the area that you put on your mouth.
Always. Always. Just so much crumb. That's like a vacuum. It's like, what's that? It's a Roomba for your purse.
Oh my God. Okay. So I totally interrupted you, but
but yeah, you're right on. So I was doing Dior and then I did that for like a year and a half and I loved it because for people that are wanting to be a makeup artist, I sat in, you know, like Malcolm Gladwell, I did my 10,000 hours of fucking people's faces up. Like I wasn't even that good. I mean, I knew how to like basically do everything, but I had like, if someone came in and they wanted pinks, I had my pink look. I had my peach look. I had my dark skin look. I had my old lady look. And that was it. That was it. And I wasn't good. I mean, I look at pictures of my frosted eyeshadow and I was like, I didn't know how to blend. I didn't know anything. But the great thing about it is you're around product. And when there's downtime, you talk with everybody and you're like, oh, look at this just came in. This is cool. Look at this primer. Look at this eyeshadow. You don't even need a primer or whatever. And or skincare, perfume, everything. And I would just do people and like if they hated it, they would just be like, thank you and leave. And you get every walk of life. So I was working with every skin tone, every skin type, every age, every problem, every solution I had to come up with. And that's how you really like that's how I honed my skills. It was like grad school. Like that's makeup school. Makeup school is bullshit.
Yep.
That's makeup school. You practice every day and you make more money if you sell. So you have to know how to do it.
Yep.
So that was amazing. And then I left there. I freelanced for Dior. And then my husband, I only did like 20 hours a week. And my husband was like, I found another line, Jillian Dempsey. She has a line called Deluxe Beauty. She's a celebrity makeup artist. She's married to Patrick Dempsey. Why don't you email her? And it was on Craigslist before you like ended up in a trunk. So I was like, okay, great. So I like reached out. I met them. They let me start selling and she sold at like Sephora. God, I would drive to Sephora's in like Newport Beach, Rancho Cucamonga. Like oh, I was like I drove everywhere to sell this shit, but I sold it and it was great. And the line was great. It doesn't exist anymore. But they were like, you're great. You should assist Jillian. And I'm like, okay. I remember I walked in her office and I saw all these pictures of famous people that she had done. And I'm like, I didn't even think about that. Like, I was just enjoying the ride. I didn't even know that that was an option. I was like, oh yeah, I guess actresses have to get their makeup done. And I'm like, I love entertainment. This seems really cool. So I shadowed her. She brought me to this like Avon convention once with like, she ended up selling her line, or like they dissolved her line and she was the color lead for Avon. And I would just come with her to stuff. And one time they asked me to do the executives from the other line that Avon owned called Mark, which I think doesn't exist anymore.
Oh my God. Oh,
Mark?
Yes. Oh yeah.
Mark makeup, meet yes. Mark.
Oh my God. Yes.
So I was with another artist and she didn't want to do it because they weren't paying us extra, but I was like, I'll do it. So I did it and I hit it off with the president of Mark. And she's like, I want you to be, she like was like, here's my information. And you know, you think everybody's blowing smoke because that's what LA is. Everyone, you ask anyone, you never have a bad meeting. Never have a bad meeting in LA, but it never goes anywhere.
Yep. Then so you're like this, hello? Just this, maybe they did a number wrong in my phone number. Like you come up, that's where the excuses begin. Then the parade of delusion.
Oh, yeah. But when you're in that meeting, you're like buying a mansion.
Yeah,
and
you're
buying
like,
your beach house. Yeah, I got this. So, you know, I was like, sure, okay. And then like a week later, she calls me and she's like, I think you would be a great face for Mark. I think you should come be the makeup artist for Mark. And I was like, what? And they're like, send us your book. We're going to look through it. I was like, I don't have a book, lady. Like, what are you talking about? Start calling my pretty friends. I'm like, I got to do makeup. We got to take pictures. Got to make a book. There was a site called Model Mayhem, again, before you end up in a trunk,
yep,
that you used to collab on. Remember that?
It's always
a waste of time, but whatever. when I think about the hours of time I wasted, there was no YouTube. There was no Instagram. There's no, maybe a little, not really, kind of Facebook, but not really.
It was like the beginning of the internet. And it's like, let's just make this site real quick. And let's just like have, and then people just can upload their photos and it's like the grainiest, shittiest pictures. And then people can like rate their work or comment. And it was like the first installation of what it was to share something.
Yes.
And now all of that's gone.
Remember that? And people would get in fights on Model Mayhem and be like, they didn't credit me. I did the hair and that. And it was like, whoa, it was so toxic, which is the internet.
Yes.
And then I had I became the Mark artist, national art, whatever you want to call it. And I would do all their photo shoots. They would fly me to New York. I would do all this stuff. It was so cool. And I was like, what's happening? And meanwhile, like this like green artist. So I assisted Jillian, but then I started to look and I started assisting all huge artists that were at the top of their game. And they were all represented by this company called The Wall Group. And I was like, okay. So then I just reached out to The Wall Group and I squeaky wheeled for like a good year, just being like, hi, anything for me? Hi, I'd like to help. Hi, I'd like to do this. I'm so annoying. How are you?
Wow.
I would drop by. I introduced myself, brought flower. Like it was crazy. It was like stalkerish. Not crazy, but I like, you know, beamed in.
Yep.
And then one day they're like, okay. So they start sending me out with their artists and the artists were like, she's great. And they vouched for me. And then they signed me. And then I've been with them. They're the only, I'm very loyal. I don't break up well. So I've been with them for like 11 years now. And boy, has it changed. But that's how it was. I mean, I really worked from the very bottom, like making $7 an hour, you know?
I wonder if
in
that's
between
possible
that, I did
now.
What'd you say?
I was just saying, I wonder if that's possible now. Like, I wonder if you would be able to, if someone would be able to do that, like the way that we did it, if someone would be able to do that again. And of course, someone can get a job behind the counter and then work their way up and then start their own line and create their own products, of course. But like, I just feel like social media has made people more entrepreneurial. And so like, they don't need to put in those hours. Or they put in those hours, but they can really direct it back to themselves. Like it can be so much more self-starting. And we were just waiting for someone to give us that break.
Yeah. I mean, I met someone there that just in between the time that was a producer for a reality show. And I worked in reality television for like a year or two. I forgot to throw that in. And I thought I had made it. They're like, so you're going to be working with three nannies. It's called Nanny 911. You have to call them and see what kind of makeup they like. And you're going to make $400 a day. And I was like, what?
Yeah, you're like, yeah, you're like, what's next? $1 million listing? Huh? I've made it.
I am exactly. I was like, I thought that was it. That was in between before I got to the celebrity thing. And then, but you're right. Like, I don't know. That was literally took me a decade to get to the place I wanted to be. Now I've witnessed people just having an Instagram following and getting there in like 1 year and then like honing their skills in the field, but they have such a presence and they're famous, like Insta famous, that people respect them. And it's fine. I mean, it is what it is. I love my job, but I definitely feel like I when you're young and you're hungry and you just, you know, now I have kids and it's like, it's changed its priority in my life.
Absolutely.
You know? And the reason that I got into it in the first place was because that woman at Ulta, I made her over with Bare Minerals and she was so happy. And now I'm finding that again. So it's like a full, like, I'm definitely like, I'm grandma. I mean, I know like people are going to be like, what? You're not grandma, but like, I feel grandma. Like, I just want to like give back to the people now.
Well, it's, you know, we were all a part of the cog prior to this pandemic. And oh, here comes my dog. Yep, here it is. Aww. What is it? The 32-minute mark. And here he is. So if you guys hear scratching, I mean, literally 10 minutes before I went live with Jamie, he was in here and like doing things to his private parts. So like, whatever, aww, it's a gift with purchase. And that will just be in the background now of this talking about long comb counters. Yes. Okay. So I feel like, you know, we all have had this opportunity to, well, we've had to pivot. And so what comes from that? Not things that you have to do, but hopefully things that you want to do. You know, the cream rises to the top, so to speak. And so if you're spending this time at home and worried about money and, you know, putting food on the table for your family and staying relevant and staying as joyful as you possibly can and obviously healthy while not seeing your friends and your family and the grandparents, right? Like there's all of these changes. Then I think just by default, so many people, if lucky enough and given the opportunity, just are finding themselves going back to basics. You know what I mean? Like where it all began. And my husband keeps saying, like, I feel like I want to like buy a bodyboard and like I want to like go shoot hoops. And it's like I want to do all these things that I used to do as a kid. And it's even though we have access to our phones, we're not in the cog. We're not in the rat race. We're not sitting in traffic going to go do the thing, commuting everywhere, doing, you know, and wherever you are, whether it's LA, New York, or even a suburb in the middle of Nebraska, like life has changed in some way for you. And with that, you're just going back to the value system. And so for you, it's like how you began connecting with people, seeing the joy on their face, you know, gifting someone that moment where you know that moment where you hold up the mirror. And then it's just like, oh my God, like there's value in that. And that's, it's just so cool that it's like a full circle. This whole process has brought you back to what made you fall in love with this industry in the first place.
It's funny. This is really cathartic for me.
This was supposed to be just a silly goose time. And now there might be tears.
We were supposed to make jokes, fart jokes.
Wait a minute, talking about fart jokes, I'm just, okay, you're going to pick a color, and this is now something I've now created, apparently this is like a game. You're going to pick a color, and then I'm going to choose I'm going to press the button on my soundboard, and that's your spirit animal, like, sound effect, okay?
Oh, great. Red.
So, red. I'm like, it's pretty much Roy G. Biv, it's all the colors. So here's, this is your sound effect. It'll just keep going. It will keep going over and over. I picked pink, and this is...
Let me hear pink. That is way more magical than like, I would walk 500 miles, and I would walk 500 miles.
That was not in response to your joke, by the way. That was just a random pressing of the button. Cue the crickets.
I'll take the rant. I don't know about that. Yeah, cue the crickets. It's nighttime, everybody. We're gonna pour ourselves some warm milk.
Anyways, I had to play that. I've been like, I weirded out on a solo episode with myself because I just discovered the board and I was like, wait a minute. And then it was, there was like a laugh track. I was like, I don't need anyone. Like, I'm good. And so now this is the first podcast where I've actually used them with someone. So thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. I want to ask you a question that kind of relates to what we were just talking about. You know, people are inside, not going on date night, not going to work, makeup artistry. I think, you know, skincare people, there was an uptick in skincare because people were able to have that as a self-care modality. And obviously makeup, everybody feels great when, you know, they put on makeup, but without some place to be, maybe there was a little bit of a gray area there with like, well, how do I use makeup that's going to work for me now based on the fact that like, maybe I'm just home all day. So what did you see, you know, when people were spending their time indoors? What types of makeup application were people clinging to while at home? And second question, what do you think will emerge, you know, post this time at home? Like how people, what types of application do you think we'll see?
Well, I agree with you. I feel like heavy, heavy skincare regimens and heavy, heavy, how can I fix what I used to go get Botox for, or what I used to go get, you know, injections. And so I feel like everybody was asking me about that. And so now I've invested, I have like so many machines now that I've been trying out. And so like a lot of machinery and a lot of doing it at home. And I was somebody who went and got my nails done almost every week because I touch people's faces. So I like my hands to be well manicured. And I found all these like interesting new ways to take care of your nails. So I think that skincare and nails has been like huge. And then everybody else was like, you know what? It's about time that I learn how to do a cat eye, or it's about time that I learn how to put on a fake lash. Hmm. So it was like all these things that like people love, but they don't really know how to do. And so I feel like a lot of people wanted to know how to achieve certain looks because they knew eventually they will get out again, or, you know, and then of course, just the natural look. Like I just want to look fresh for the Zoom.
Yep.
That was like the most popular request.
So what types of products do you think bring out that fresh look? Like actual, you can, you know, shout out brands that you love or shout out actual products, but like, what is that Zoom glow? How are you achieving that?
I mean, obviously oil, Skin Owl oil, definitely. Like your skin needs to be vibrant and, you know, full of luminosity and hydrated. Like that was the most important thing. Your lips need to be hydrated, as I'm like, let me put some lip balm on right now.
I'm going to use this clip.
You know, easy swipes. I feel like a lot of like when you're home and you aren't, when you're a beginner with makeup, it's like, I just want to swipe stuff on. So, swiping something on your eyes, swiping something on your cheeks, swiping something on your lips, and then like a curl and a mascara. Like that seemed to be like, to me, the easiest and best thing. I did spend some time with Kelly Baker Brows trying to learn how to really fill in my brows because I don't really have brows. So over this quarantine, I found out about Sarah Maxwell, who has this amazing, like I've tried everything for hair growth on my brows and my lashes. She has this like three-step system. I bought it. I spent my money on it. And then I reached out to her and I was like, this is amazing. Can you give me a code for my people? And I do that with like every brand. I like try to get codes for my audience because it's like the way I give back. And they're like, we have an affiliate link. And I'm like, no, I don't want to do the affiliate link. Like it's too much. Like if I did an affiliate link with all these brands, it would just be like, I know I could probably make a good living. But for me, it's really just about the give back. But yeah. Did I answer the question?
Have
I gone off on a tangent?
No, I'm like, okay, I want to know what these skincare machines are. I want to know what the code is for the brows. You know what I mean? I'm like this. I want to know. Your skin is so... For those of you guys who, of course, listening to this episode, and then you're going to go to Jamie's Instagram, which of course we'll light up in the show notes, and she'll share at the end of this episode. Your skin is like a freaking dream, dude. And you have three children. Like, it's glow... It's glow city, like in all the areas that you want the glow. It's crazy. It's insane. It's different though. It's different. Like you're, it's just like super, I don't know. It's just like, it, like it's like lit from within. That's what I want to say.
Well, thank you. That I use that a lot, lit from within. That's what my product's going to be, lit from within. Like the little glow on your cheek with the lit from within.
Are we allowed to talk? We're going to talk about that.
We're going to talk about it. Yeah, no, so I'm really into, okay, so Sarah Maxwell has this like, it's a lengthening serum and then a keratin like treatment and okay. Then a mascara. And I'm going to be totally honest, not crazy about the mascara. But if you're very natural, you'll be fine with it. But for me, I like a va-va-va-voom.
Yep.
But the lengthening serum and the keratin blow your mind bananas. It's not the cheapest thing in the world. But I think I have like 10 or 20% off with Jamie makeup. But I got to tell you, like change. I had no lashes. I used to get fake lashes put on for 4 years. And then I stopped and I had nubs. And then they grew back, but they were so like weird. And then I tried like every Latisse and blah, 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 and blah, blah, blah. Nothing worked. And then for the brows, I use Revita Brow. Mm. I'll have to look and see if I have. The Revita Brow is amazing. And then for machines, so I'll show you what I've been digging.
I mean, I got my notepad out. Like this is something, because yeah. I haven't done all of this. You know what I mean? Like people are like, was this the great pause for you? And I'm like, no. This was the great grind and this was the great survive. So yes. I'm doing my skincare at night, but it's very product-based. I'm using my Skin Owl tools, but like I have seen so many different machines pop up in my Instagram algorithm because they know that I'm like secretly desiring this and I just haven't gotten it. So I am, yes. I'm looking to you as my oracle right now.
Okay. So these are the things that I like, I'm obsessed with right now. So the first is the Dermaflash. Have you ever used this?
I have it and I've never tried it.
Oh my God. You have it?
I have it. It was gifted. This is like with the peach fuzz, right? It takes off yes. the... Yeah, it was gifted to me and then I never used it because I was like, I don't know if I have peach fuzz.
So like usually by the nape of the neck, here is where most of the peach fuzz is. And then sometimes on the chin. And then if you look really closely, maybe mustache.
Yes.
So I'm not like super hairy, but I definitely have it. And I used it one time. I went and met the girl, the like salesperson for Dermaflash. And I was like, wow. But what I noticed is that my products worked better because I didn't have that barrier of hair. I found like, sounds like I'm doing a commercial for them. but so you just literally like you shave off. So what it's doing is it's taking off hair, but it's also exfoliating your skin.
Okay.
And I feel like my products look different on my skin. My makeup, especially foundation, look different on my skin. Like it's like just smooth. It creates this really smooth. So now I do this like once or every other week.
Okay.
I'm obsessed. And then got all my tools here. Then the beautiful new face, which I'm obsessed with. So I felt like, you know, I have jowls. I feel like, you know, my forehead, my eyebrows, I don't have Botox. So like, you know, I was like, how can I lift this area without shooting myself in the face? And so I started doing this. And the thing is, and your husband is a personal trainer, so you will attest to this. And it's like anything. If you're going to spend money on something, you have to use it every day. Just like if you start working out, you will see a change in your body. But the minute you stop day 3 of not going to work out, you start to sag again.
Yep.
It's the same thing with all these machines and skincare, quite honestly. So if you're going to spend the $300 or $400 to get some of these machines, like you gotta just do it while you're watching TV. So that's what I've been doing. And I feel like my face is so much tighter than it was.
Yep.
For those of you at home, New Face is a microcurrent that kind of like zaps your like muscles. So it's tightening them, almost like you're working them out.
Yep.
So they start to get tighter and everything starts to lift the more you use it. This also comes with different attachments. So there's one that has like prongs that you can do by your eyes. And then it has an LED. So you can do it for like your collagen regrowth. Then they also have like a little one that I don't have here with me right now, and you can do like a lip flick or just do it on your eyes and it's smaller. And it comes with like this gel, like almost like an ultrasound gel, like this clear, wet gel. And then that I love. And then also there's another one called Zip that seems to be just like a little stronger. It's a little more expensive. I have that one too. And then Joanna Vargas came out with this like little doohickey, and it's hot or cold. And it's also got like a current, and it will take away, it'll depuff you and it'll brighten you. Yeah.
Okay. So I just took a screenshot just so that I know what that is. And also it was right when I opened my mouth, like this is sexy talk. You know what I mean? Like we're getting into it and I am salivating at the mouth.
You're hot for teacher. So yeah, this is called, it's called the, what does she call this? Cause it doesn't say it on here. I'm looking. It's called the Magic Glow Wand. So it's like you're massaging your face with this, and you can decide if you need cold because you're puffy or warm if you just want to lift things. And so it's just back. It's magical. I've been using that one too. And then, you know, that's really it. And then just like good exfoliating scrub. I've been doing exfoliating my body. Yes. You know, I washed my brushes, like, just to time, got rid of so much stuff, like bags and bags of shit, like in my bathroom that like were such, I mean, listen, thank God, because I wouldn't have a job if it wasn't for all our, the product whores. It's you too.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I feel like the product whores, we all have this like crazy addiction to product. And when you really sit down and open your bathroom, I literally filled two huge, those black garbage bags that are like industrial, two full ones. Probably could still do one more.
I know. And it was like, I wish I could give this to someone, but like giving away.
I've had this for over a year and I either used it.
Yeah. It's two things. It's like, okay, I have all this makeup and I'm not using it. So who wants it? And then the asking someone that during COVID was as if I was like out with a vendetta for someone. No one would take my makeup. They're like, no. But the week earlier, people would have been like this. Yeah, it's fine. I'll just put some isopropyl alcohol in it. It's fine. I'll just use it. And then afterwards, it was like this. Hell no. Get that trash bag away from me.
Exactly. That's exactly. Because normally I would like take stuff out and be like, oh, this wasn't used, but I've had it for a while. Or this. You know, I literally just like use the eyeshadow once or yeah. And that's why I was like, I'm all in. I'm getting the garbage bags and I'm just dumping shit and it's going, it's gone. It was heavy and it felt so good. And I recommend that you all do that. Even my kit, my husband's like, I spent the last 2 days cleaning, like getting rid of like everything in my kit, re-upping. And he goes, like, doesn't that feel good? And I was like, it feels so good, but like, it's so needed to be done. He's like, you waited 3 months to do it. And I was like, yeah, I did. So it's never too late, people. Always have a weekend to do it.
You do. And it's like, you don't want to get rid of your makeup because you're like, well, whenever, you know, when I go on this boat, this will be beautiful with my nautical clothing. And then it's like, when was the last time you were on a fucking boat, Annie? You know what I mean? It's like you hold on to it because you're like, I'll use this because it's a form of expression. It's how you use your makeup. It's like the colors that you're one day, you know what I mean? And it's like day one or one day, choose one. You know what I mean? It's like, do you want to like have this stuff one day or do you just want to love and embrace the things that you absolutely use on a daily basis? And that's just kind of how it is. It's like, I'm a creature of habit. I'm usually using the same stuff, you know, lip gloss, and I go and I have my phase and then that's my look. And then I phase out and I go into another look and it's just kind of like seasonal. So I don't know why I'm holding on to six different coral lipsticks. Cause I'm not, for me, at least I'm not a makeup artist anymore. So it's like, I don't really need that.
Yeah. And even me, like I like pulled up a bag yesterday. I'm like hold this. And I'm like, dude, I did this a year ago. Like this shit's got to go. Like it's done. And you know what? You get out all the shit and then you can get new stuff and let that sit and take up space in your bathroom that you'll never use. That's the problem. It's so hard. And like, I always tell everybody because I if you use a product and you know this, like usually if you use it consistently morning and night, like skincare, it usually is gone within the month.
Yep.
So I like to experiment with that. I like to like try new eye creams or try new face creams or like I'll use the same brand 3 months in a row and then I'll take a break for a month. Yep. And I'll go back to it if I love it because I feel like your skin can use a break too sometimes from the same stuff.
Yes, absolutely.
You know more about that than I do.
I mean, I think it's like, you know, the skin likes routine. It's like, you know, a dog is the only animal that can eat the same thing every day and not build up an intolerance. human beings, like, you know, shampoo buildup and skin products can be retroactive. They work for a month and then your skin gets used to them. Like, I like switching things up in terms of skincare and hair care. When my skin tells me, when my skin sends up a little flag that's like, it's not, you know what I mean? Like, I could look better. I could look glowier. I could look a little bit more enlivened. And that's kind of a note. Like, I take that cue from my skin as opposed to like being so product obsessed that then I switch things up before my skin gives me that flag.
But, that's true too.
Yeah, and only one product at a time. That's what I've learned about skincare. It's like, oh my God, I love this entire line. I'm going to bring in the toner and the serum and the moisturizer, and then maybe I'll break out. And then I'm like, nope, that line sucks for me. But it doesn't suck for me. Maybe it was just the serum, but I'll never know because I used it all at once. So I'm all about like introducing a new, and I guess with makeup too, like introducing a new foundation as opposed to the foundation and the blush and the bronzer. So yeah. Like, you know what I mean? You'll save more money and you'll actually have more accurate lust for a line if you know what affected you.
Totally. It's like food. I went on that ranch. Have you been to the ranch?
No.
For those of you that don't know, there's this, I don't know what's going to happen now, but there's this like retreat in Malibu called the ranch. You can go on a 4-day, you can go on a 7-day, 10-day, or if you're insane, a 30-day. You have to be very rich too because it's so expensive. So I went for 4 days and it was epic. And you eat completely plant-based, vegan, gluten-free, plant-based, no meat, no sugar, no alcohol, no drugs, nothing.
No coffee?
And you hike all day for like 4 to 5 hours. No coffee. And I got to tell you something. That was what I had to prep before I went. So every like 6 weeks out, you like start dropping stuff. The last thing I dropped was the coffee. It made me so sick. I like am the biggest coffee drinker in the entire world, obsessed with coffee, love, love, love. Haven't had a cup of coffee since the retreat.
When was this?
In January.
Oh my God.
No, February. It was February. It was the February.
I've never heard of this. You know what I mean? But that's what happens when you have a baby. People are this, have you been to this restaurant or the ranch? And I'm like this, ranch dress? Is this, are we talking about ranch dressing? I have no idea what the hell's going on in the world.
It was insane. And the first day, all of us in the group, like people came from all over the U.S., like all over, like Texas and Colorado and New York. And I was like, I felt North Carolina. I felt bad that everybody, like I drove 20 minutes to get there and everybody else had to like fly cross country. But we all like commiserated over the fact that we wanted coffee, we wanted sugar, we wanted meat, we wanted food, you know, but by the last day, you feel like you're literally flying. Like you're so high because you're just putting in what your body needs. And I said to the people that work there, I'm like, do you eat like this all the time? Getting back to the point you made. They're like, no, we're like 80-20. And I was like, so tell me what that means. And he's like, you know what? Maybe I'll go out and have a burger and a beer with my buddies. But then I go back. So I'm 80-20. And I was like, okay. And he's like, but if you're going to go back with one thing at a time. So if you're going to go back to eating gluten, just start with the gluten so that you know if gluten's a problem for you.
Right.
Or if you're going to go back to the dairy, just do that alone. Don't just go have like a pizza with like ice cream because then you won't know what hit you. So do it. And so that like is like, with, that makes so much sense because it's true. Like I know now like what triggers me, you know?
Absolutely. Okay. So before we went and pressed record on this podcast, you shared something with me that here's the thing, you know, like, okay, I've seen a lot of products. I know what my thing is. Like if it says brightening or dewy or glossy or whatever, like that's it. It's in the bag. Take all the money. You showed me a product. This is your own trademarked product. I'm going to let you say the name because it's like, how the hell have we not thought about this before? But of course it wasn't because it was waiting for you and it's like your product. So this is so cool because it's a universal product. It's yours after like doing the makeup thing for so long. Like you know what the people want. And now you're going to be introducing it in the fall, you said. So can you tell us a little bit about it and what people can expect?
Sure. So this is a product that I used to concoct for all my red carpet looks for all my girls. And my aesthetic, just so everybody knows, it is very natural. Like my aesthetic is like the best version of you. I'm like the modern day Bobby Brown. That's where I fit in, but with a little personality. So this is called Blylighter, which is blush and highlighter hybrid combined. Mm. And it is, it's like a sheen from within. Like it's just like a luminous blush. And you know, when I was selling back in the day at Bloomingdale's or Ulta or Sephora, I would say it's like you ran out to the meter, put a quarter in and came back. That's the look that you're going for. So I'm bringing that full circle and I'm coming out. This Blylighter has been, Annie, I don't know how you did it. I don't know how people do it. I do not know how products are made. I really don't. Because this has been so hard that I can't even believe it's happening. We're going to put in the order today. So,
well, we'll talk about it. Like, honestly, whatever help you need. It just, this is what happens, right? Like you see a business and you're like, wow, look at all of these things. But you know, thoughts become things. Skin Owl has been around for 7 years. So it wasn't like I woke up one day with a trust fund or an investor and was like this, I'd like 11 SKUs, please. This is stuff that happens over time and you're taking your time. Slow and steady wins the race. When people are like, what's your advice for budding entrepreneurs, it's slow and steady wins the race because you don't know what you want your brand to be. You have this product and you're spot on with this product and you're passionate about this product and you're passionate about the compact that it comes in and the colors, but you don't know how this product is going to interact with people. And then, and I mean like emotionally, and then what that will spawn. You know what I mean? Like if somebody had told me like Skin Owl, you're going to have a podcast the 7th year that you're in business, I'd be like, what are you talking about? Like I have absolutely no experience with that. But you know what I mean? When you talk to people about their skin, you talk to people about the deeper issues and people get vulnerable and whether it's acne or aging or whatever, the conversation turns to things that are more, you know, have great depth. And so then blah, 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 I want to do that more. And so then here's the podcast. You know what I mean? Like you're going to go through this really cool evolution where this product, this Blylighter is going to beget something else in your life. And it's going to be amazing. And you're going to look back to this podcast when you were like, oh my God, when I announced this one product and it hadn't even come out yet, like, and everything that you've picked up and your value system, pandemic or no pandemic, like you're going to change as a person because you're going to be putting something that didn't exist out into the world. It's amazing. Your compact. Like this is your product. And then people are going to be talking about it and then interacting with you. And then you're going to get all of these other types of opportunities because of who you are. And I'm just so excited for you and no one deserves it more. I mean, can you share, you know, pigments or, you know, how people can wear it? Can you tease it a little bit?
Yeah, I'll tease it a little bit. It's there's definitely shades for every skin tone. And we're coming out with 3 to begin with, like a neutral, like a more pink, and then a more vibrant, like red, like a blush when you think of the original, the OG blush. And we'll have some other colors like in line if things go well. You know, it's like that type of thing. I'm like, I don't want to. So yeah, and I did this all by myself and it's literally just a swipe on the cheek. What I realize is my girls just want less is more. They want things to, instead of putting on a blush and a highlighter, you can just do it in one. Everything in the line is going to just be like something that takes a step away, you know, so that you can swipe. Because most women are swiping,
yeah,
you know,
we are.
Not just on their phone, but on their face. So.
And then I loved how you put a little bit of it on your lips afterwards and it just kind of brought that monochromatic like do to your face. And I'm so excited. I feel like this is just the way of the world now. We just want something to give us a little zhuzh and make us feel good about the skin that we're in. And I want to be one of the first people that has it, especially in that neutral color, because that's my jam.
You will definitely be someone that has it. And I love, like, I feel like the packaging is very, you know, me, and it stands out and it looks like nothing that I've seen on the market. And I just like, I'm ready to wave my freak flag and I just can't wait to see who's with me, you know?
I'm with you. All right. I've taken an hour of your time.
I love
you. I want you to come back when the Blylighter launches, because I would love to do like a lot, like, and maybe obviously we can have it be a continuation of this podcast, but I'd like to do a live where like you kind of show people some looks using it. I appreciate everything that you do. I really do. I think that you are such a good influence on the beauty industry. The way that you speak to people, the way that you understand people, it's just so valuable. And it enriches anybody who comes across your path. And so if you're not someone, you know, who has sat in your chair one-on-one, if you're not a celebrity, it's all good because now Jamie's doing one-on-ones and you get to like learn the Jamie way and you get to connect with her and you'll be able to experience firsthand what I'm talking about to anybody listening. And we're going to keep all that information in the show notes. It's obviously Jamie week. So we're going to have pull quotes. We're going to have all the things, you know, the act. We're going to have audiograms. So you're going to get to know this woman in an amazing new way. And I hope that she'll light up your life in the way that she's lit up mine. And is there anything you want to end with? Anything you want to let the people know or impart to anyone?
What a national treasure Annie is. Thank you so much. You were right back at you, babe.
Oh my God.
And you're really good at this podcast thing, just so you know.
Thank you.
Like I would watch your show. You're like Oprah.
Oh my God. Oh my God. Oh my God. Just okay. Saying. Well, that's it. That's it. I mean, that's all. I think this might be like episode 99 or something. So you're going to be like, that's the best compliment I could get on the way to 100 episodes. Thank you.
That's amazing. No idea. Yeah. I loved it. I loved you. I love this interview and I am nice to meet everybody. And if you want to find out more about me, just at Jamie Makeup pretty much across the board.
Awesome.
And jamiemakeup.com. So got a plug.
Yeah, you do. You absolutely do. And we'll have that all. If you guys are listening on Spotify or Apple Podcasts, you'll find all of Jamie's information. I'm going to see if I can get the links to those products too, because I know people are going to be like this. So we'll get those links from Jamie. You guys can see those on Spotify and Apple Podcasts in the show notes so you can buy them and experience them for yourselves. If you guys love this episode, please go to Apple, Google, Stitcher, Spotify, wherever you like listening to your favorite podcast. Give us a 5-star review. Just do it. Don't be a jerk. And leave a review. Okay. Let us know what you loved about this episode. Let us know what you want to hear. If you have any questions for Jamie, you can obviously DM us on Instagram at Off the Record with You. And we will send them Jamie's way. All right, guys. I thank you so much for listening. Check us out on skinowl.com for previous episodes. Just go to the dropdown and click the podcast and you'll be able to see all of the amazing stories that we've had prior to this one today. So Jamie, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you.
Stay safe, stay healthy, and I will see you on the other side in the valley. You and me, I respect your privacy. What happens here will never leave this room. So lock the door, pull me in, put a finger to my lips, 'cause I can't say I've got what I would do off the record with you.